taxi, taxi, taxi.
The time, right now. The characters, you name them, we got them. The scene, New York City. We present Taxi, a week-by-week account of the trials and tribulations of a New York taxi driver.
Hey, it's the guys I'm mainly talking to now. Hey, fellas, when you was going steady with your present spouse before you really become an addiction, you ever have a pal of yours with whom you was great buddies? And then the doll comes along and suddenly you forget your buddy altogether. You know what I mean? That's the time you really know that you and this doll is for keeps. Yeah. When the evening beer you usually have with your buddy all of a sudden loses its appeal. And you was drinking afternoon tea with the love of your life. And furthermore, it tastes good. And when the act of going to the movies and sitting there in the dark takes on a new meaning. Ah, where are they now? That old gang of mine. I suppose they got their own things. All except Red, of course. Me and Michael sometimes gives up hope of Red ever finding his own little woman. And that's where it gets kind of complicated. Because Michael and me is always having to worry about where Red will go or what Red will do on the occasions we want to be on a lonesome. Take the other evening for an easy. Me and Michael planned a nice cozy duet, just the two of us. We figured we'd watch the TV or maybe indulge in a little colluding or whatever. He picked that particular night because he was under the impression that Red was on the late shift. But, and believe you me, Miss Weston, I do mean but.
Gee, that was a great program on TV tonight, wasn't it, Chuck?
Oh, yeah, honey. I always did get a kick out of that Shakespeare.
I like the costumes the women was wearing.
Hey, must have been great to live in them days, huh? Imagine me in tights.
You wear long johns now, so what's the difference?
Yeah, well, that ain't the same thing at all, Michael. You see, these long johns is to keep my legs from getting chilly.
How you get into them things, beats me?
That's easy. It's a knack. You just step in and pull them up.
Some battle.
What are you talking about? I ain't put on that much weight.
Who's talking about you? I was talking about the Battle of Agincourt in Henry V.
Henry V?
You know, the Shakespeare epic we just seen.
Oh, yeah. So that's what it was called, huh?
Once more into the breach, dear friends. Once more.
Huh?
Shakespeare.
Oh.
Henry V.
That came out of Henry V, the one we just seen on the TV.
That's right.
When did they say that? I didn't hear nobody say that.
Henry V said it to his troops on the field just before the Battle of Agincourt.
He did? I don't remember.
Maybe it was because you were snoring your head off round about that time.
Me?
The same.
Oh. Anyways, real people don't speak like that, especially kings. That's what I don't like about Shakespeare. A lot of words, and what do you got in the end? A big zero. Yeah, you could have said the same thing in a quarter of the time.
Yeah, but that wouldn't have been poetic.
It would have been understood, that's for sure. By the time Henry V said that mouthful to his troops, they must have forgot what they were fighting about. Now, Napoleon, now there's a guy who knew the value of saying very little.
What?
Yeah. When Napoleon said goodbye to his troops, you know what he said?
No, what?
He looked at him full in the face for a minute or so. Then he put his hand inside his vest like he always did. And then he said, goodbye, troops.
Mm-hmm. That's what he said, huh?
Sure. What no need for a big spiel. Goodbye, troops. Finish.
That's all he said?
Yep.
He must have said something else.
No, goodbye, troops is all.
Goodbye, troops?
Sure.
No wonder Shakespeare never put him in a play. It would have been over in 2 minutes flat.
Same as these Romeo and Juliet characters. Also by Shakespeare, you know.
I did know.
Oh, sorry, honey. I keep thinking I'm talking to Red.
Huh?
No, what I meant was that I usually get involved in this kind of discussion with Red, and I get used to explaining everything to him.
The day you get me mixed up with Red is the day you've got problems.
No, you don't understand, honey. Only while I was talking there for a minute. You see? I mean, you don't look like Red.
Thanks a lot, mister.
Well, only a slight resemblance, maybe.
What?
I'm only kidding you, honey. I don't mean it. Say, since when do you not see my jokes? You should know by this time when I'm kidding and when I ain't.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's because I don't see you so much these days. Alone, I mean.
Oh, come on, honey. This is me, Chuck, the Joker.
But it's true, you know, honey. This is the first night for I don't know how long we haven't had Red keeping us company.
Yeah, I know, baby, but, well, you know how it is.
Yeah, I suppose so, but it's tough on a dial.
So what can you do? Tell the guy to push off? Want me to have a heart of stone? Tell him to crawl into a corner and fold up? How can I do that, I ask you? Mind you, there must be some way.
No, Chuck, I wouldn't hurt Red. You know that.
Oh, neither would I. Why, if my old buddy Red walked in here right this minute, I'd make him welcome.
So would I.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, no.
I don't believe it.
What are you doing here?
Yeah. We told you it was on night shift.
Oh, well, you see, it seems there was some kind of mix-up at the office. It was really Eddie Thompson's plane tonight.
Ah.
I see.
So, I got a night off. That's great, huh?
Great.
Wonderful.
Yeah. You never can tell how life turns out, huh?
Never.
True.
Say, any coffee going?
Nah, we just had.
I think there's some in the pot. Want some?
No, I never touch it. But thanks anyway.
Have a nice day, Red.
Yeah, not too bad.
Good.
What you two been doing?
Oh, just sitting around here. Watching the TV.
Oh.
Haven't we, Chuck?
Huh? Oh, yeah, sure.
What was on? TV.
Oh, Henry B.
Who?
Lawrence Oliver.
Oh, in the desert.
Desert?
I've seen that movie 3 times already.
What movie?
Lawrence of Arabia.
Not Lawrence of Arabia.
Listen, Chuck, I know what movie I saw 3 times. It was definitely Lawrence of Arabia. With this Irish guy. What was his name? Peter O'Fool.
Yeah, not you. Yeah. Say, ain't you gonna date tonight, Red?
Me?
No, my aunt said you're from Milwaukee.
I don't think I had the pleasure.
We thought you'd find some girl or other, you know. Make a date, seeing you got the evening off.
Say, that's a great idea.
That sure is, Michael. How about it, Red?
How about what?
A girl.
My kingdom for a girl, Shakespeare.
No, Red, that's right. Don't you think you should have got a date with some nice girl tonight instead of hanging around here on your own?
But I ain't on my own. I'm with you.
Exactly.
So?
So, but don't you think it's getting late for you to find a girl?
Oh, it's only 8 o'clock.
I mean late in life.
I got time.
Yeah, but don't you agree that...
I do, definitely.
I ain't finished. Hasn't it ever occurred to you that 3 is a funny kind of number?
3?
Yeah.
Well, personally speaking, I ain't got nothing against number 3. It's 13 I ain't crazy about.
Oh, no.
Besides, you know what they say, 3's company, 4's a crowd. And not only that, too many cooks spoil the broth.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, I know, and I agree.
Michael, what are you wasting your time arguing with him for?
Oh, well.
Yeah?
This is an unexpected surprise. Having an evening off.
Wow.
Hey, Chuck.
Well?
You know how I always feel kind of sleepy this time of night?
Yeah.
You know how I can't keep my eyes open usually?
Yeah.
And all I want to do is go to bed?
Yeah.
I don't feel like that tonight. Funny, ain't it?
Hilarious.
I am splitting my sides. Guys and girls, I ask you, what can you do with a big ape? Well, that did it for that evening. In the end, the three of us finishes up by playing snap. 17 rubbers we had yet. Mind you, I don't mind playing snap. Me and Michael likes the game. But what really needed me was Red winning every hand. I guess somebody up there likes him. Anyways, we finally manages to talk Red into phoning up a girlfriend of a girlfriend of a girlfriend of Michael's. Don't ask me to sort that one out. Even Michael never laid eyes on her. Still, it went both ways, because this girl ain't never set eyes on Red, which I think is always advisable in the initial stages of a romance between Red and any broad. So he calls her and fixes a date with her. Comes the day of the rendezvous. Well, this is it, Red.
Yeah.
So when you gonna meet her?
Who?
The dame.
Oh, 7:30.
Hey, that's pretty soon. When you gonna change?
Oh, I don't know. I guess it's a little late for me to change in my time of life. After all, a leopard don't change its spots. And another thing...
Now, will you cut that out? Hey, where'd you arrange to meet her?
At her place.
Like that?
Huh?
Where's her place?
I gotta be there at 7:30. I better hurry.
Hey,
I don't want to be late for our first date together.
Red.
After all, what's she think of me turning up late the very first time?
Red!
Yeah?
You forgot to find out where she lived, didn't you?
Yeah.
So where did you go if you don't know her address?
I just saw her someplace.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of this broad?
Penelope.
Penelope, you mean?
Penelope? No, it's definitely Penelope.
It's Penelope.
No, you must be wrong, Chuck.
How would you know?
Stand to reason. You see...
Uh-oh. Fasten your seatbelt. Here we go again. In at the deep end.
You see, supposing I fell in love with this girl.
Very unlikely.
And she fell in love with me.
Impossible.
And we decided to run away together because her father was against the whole thing.
I'm listening, but why, I'll never know.
And one night, I put a ladder up against a window, which was on the third floor.
You could reach it without the ladder.
And we ran away to get married, like they does in Greta Garbo.
How did she get in here?
Well, how could I say to her, Penelope, let us Elope? Sounds stupid.
No, Red. It does not sound stupid. It is stupid!
No, it ain't.
Why, for one thing, she may not have a father.
You think so, Chuck?
That's possible.
Poor kid. How about that, huh? No father. Jeez, must be terrible. But that poor broad suffering, out in the cold, cold world, none to eat, nowhere to go, living from day to day, depending on her wits.
Yes, Red. If she's anything like you, she'll starve. Now, come on, my brain, get going. So, first of all, I have to get Red to phone this Penelope, or Penelope, and get her address. Apartment 1412 Regent Plaza Heights. Heights, yes. But say, if I know my New York, and I do know my New York, this dame lives in a real classy district. She probably has two fathers. What her and Red would have in common, I could not figure. But then stranger things have happened. They must have done. Sometimes. But so funny all life we live in, and who knows? Finally, I get Red off on his date with the fabulous Penelope. He didn't look too bad with his double-breasted three-button slate gray gabardine two-piece with the wide lapels and 22-inch turn-up. Don't laugh. That style's coming back. Someday. Anyways, I was working late shift. But it wasn't only me that was working overtime that night. My mind was also working itself to the bone, trying to imagine what kind of scene these two lovebirds was making.
Hey, well, this is it, I guess. She's someplace. I'll ask this commissar where Penelope lives. Excuse me.
Yeah?
Is this the Regent Plaza Heights?
It ain't Skid Row. So, what's the deal?
Well, you see, I...
No, Hawk is peddling for sake, this bum.
No, wait a minute. I ain't circulizing. I'm just looking for a girl. Can you help me?
Why should I? You ain't never found me no girl.
No, you see, what it is, I got a date already.
So, what do you want? Two dates? One ain't enough for you?
No, listen.
And what you like?
Who?
This other broad you're standing up.
I ain't standing up nobody. I
ain't gonna take on two of them, huh? See some nerve you got.
I have?
You sure have. And you know something?
No.
I admire.
You do?
Yeah. Two birds with one stone. Huh. That's been my trouble all my life. Treating dames like they was goddesses. Putting them on a pedestal. That's been my trouble. They ain't no different from anyone else. They're just people. And what did I get from a generosity and kindness and consideration towards them? I pick on the head. That's what. I tell you, they ain't worth it. That's why I admire your guts. Treating them like dirt. It's the only way. A regular Osario. Two dates in one night. How do you like this guy? Well, you better move on, bum. Otherwise, you get me into trouble. As if I ain't in enough. Well, James.
Excuse me. Could you tell me where Miss Penelope Schweitzer lives?
Why, sure. It's just a... Hey, that ain't your date, is it?
Yeah.
Hey, you're kidding.
No, hey, you're right. What's the gag?
What's the gag? No, well, it ain't nice for me to put you off like this. She's just a little strange.
Really?
Well, you know, odd.
Odd?
Unusual.
Why? What does she do?
Now, you go out with her and you'll find out. Don't worry, it ain't kitchen.
Yeah, but I...
Hey, hold on. Here she comes now.
Well, hello there.
Good evening, Miss Schweitzer.
You must be Red.
Huh?
You look like Red. You must be.
Oh, yeah, I'm Red, and you must be Penelope.
Why, how clever of you.
Clever?
See, but I always like people to pronounce my name that way.
Oh, well, it ain't nothing.
All right, Joe, you may go.
Huh? Oh, sure, Miss Weiser. If you need me, I'll be right over here.
Well, Penelope, I thought maybe we'd go to a movie, and then...
I've seen it.
Seen what?
Any movie you can name. I go every day, you know.
Every day to the movies? Gee, don't you do no work?
Oh, you must be joking. What's the news from Danny to back to Anglo United?
Anglo United? What, he's got a new baseball team?
What? What a crazy opinion you have.
You think so? Gee. Well, if you don't want to see a movie, I thought maybe...
Do you like Sucky Pig?
Pardon me?
Sucky Pig. Do you like it?
Gee, I don't know. I don't think I've ever sucked one yet. I...
Oh, my, what a sense of humor. Well, I know a little restaurant where they can have Sucky Pig and blueberry pie. It's the greatest. A man of your discrimination will love it.
I will.
It's a dear little place.
Dear? How much?
Oh, your jokes will be the death of me. Let's go.
I like you. You're my kind of girl.
I think you do, Brad. It's great.
You do? Gee, because I think you're great, too.
You don't know anything about me. You just met.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. But I know one thing.
What's that?
You're very pretty.
I think so, Brad.
Say, Penelope, tell me about yourself, will you?
Oh, my Brad. What is you?
I didn't know, Harry.
Well, who is it? From the Salvador Dali School.
I never heard of that school. I went to Bronx Secondary.
Yeah. Anyway, I speak seven languages, including the Indian Sign Language, and 11 different dialects.
Well, you speak my language, okay, that's for
I'm
sure.
I'm 25 years of age.
Huh? Still a kid.
And I'm 36, 23, 36.
Don't you say you were 25?
I'm not mine.
That's funny, neither am I.
I have degrees in cordon bleu cooking.
Well, nobody's perfect.
And finally, I have a very rich daddy.
Gee, it just shows you. I thought you didn't have one at all.
That's about it. Well, I do.
Do what?
Oh, silly. I mean, how do I read?
Oh, well, Penelope, in my book, you're the tops. You got everything. The whole works. Beauty, brains, money, class, good upbringing.
Red, you say the sweetest thing.
Comes natural. Only one thing I can't understand.
What?
How come a person like you is interested in a bum like me?
Well, nobody's perfect.
While this momentous love scene is going on, I finishes my shift and I picks up Michael as arranged, so she can have another evening all to herself. As Ed hadn't returned yet, Michael and me figured for once things was going right for him, and that at last he'd be able to see a whole evening through with a dame right to the end.
Well, Chuck, sweetie, I hope Greg's enjoying himself.
He's enjoying himself okay, honey. Otherwise, he'd have been back by now.
Reminds me of our first date together.
I thought you had a distant look in your eyes.
You can say that again. 14 years. Sometimes I ask myself, how long can this go on?
Now, don't start that again, Michael. Guy's got to have time to work things out. After all, marriage is a very responsible business.
Who's talking about business? That's your trouble, Chuck Edwards. Marriage isn't only hardship and misery. Marriage is a noble thing, an institution.
Yeah, but who wants to live in an institution?
Chuck Edwards.
Listen, honey, I'm only kidding you. Come over here and sit by me. After all, we've got to make the most of the few hours' privacy we've got.
Well, I...
Come on, my baby. The return of the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Why you hunt so highly, Red? Do you enjoy yourself?
Yeah. And no.
What do you mean, yes or no?
Well, I did. I did enjoy myself.
Uh-huh.
Then I didn't.
So what happened already?
Was she nice, Red?
Yeah.
Now, what is this? 20 questions? Tell us what happened.
Well, she's a great girl, this Penelope. She's very beautiful, great figure. She's an artist. She paints. She's very intelligent, very rich. She thinks I'm cute, and she's a great cook. And she speaks seven languages, including the Indian Sign Language in 11 different dialects. She's got a sports car.
Gee.
Wow.
She's got everything. The works.
So, when are you going to see her again?
I ain't.
What?
Why not, for Pete's sake?
Well, you see, Everything was going great, and I was thinking to myself, gee, how lucky can a guy get to have this beautiful broad by your side, and furthermore, to have her interested in a bum like me? All evening, I kept saying this to myself.
So?
So, after our sucking pig...
After your what?
Sucking pig. That's what we had to eat.
Oh, but that's expensive. How could you afford a place like that?
She paid. Anyway, after our sucking pig, I said to her, Penelope, I said, I'd better run you home in my cab. She lives in a penthouse. So she said to me, no, Red. She called me Red because by that time we was on first name terms. No, Red, she says, I'll take you to my penthouse in my sports coupe.
And we can have
a drink and talk about this and that.
Yeah.
And later, much later, she says, I'll run you back to your cab. So this seemed like a good idea to me, and we gets in her 4.8-liter Pomerania, and we goes back to the Regent Plaza Heights as per arrangement.
Is this going to take much longer? Because right now I happen to be very busy.
We gets to her place. We goes up in the elevator to the 28th floor, and we reaches the door of her apartment. She looks at me a minute, then she hands me the key for me to open the door.
Oh, boy.
I put the key in the lock, and I tried to open the door. The door opens an inch or maybe two, and I can't seem to push it no further. Something seems to be behind the door, stopping it from opening. I look for Penelope, but she don't say nothing, so I figure maybe the door's always stuck like this. Anyway,
this had better be good.
So I put my shoulder to the door, and with all my strength, which is not inconsiderate, I finally manages to push the door open. And there, in the hallway, before my eyes, was... Guess what?
What?
A horse.
A horse.
It's a dead horse. Dead horse lying on the floor in the hallway.
What?
Well, I must have looked surprised, because I looked at Penelope, and I said, what's this, a dead horse lying behind your door in the hallway? She said, well, so what? And I said, what do you mean, so what? And she said, listen, Buster, I didn't say I was tidy. So here we are again. Just the three of us. So what are we going to do tonight?
So there it was, Dice and Doll. The old time, back together again. Boy, that Red can sure peck him when it comes to board. Not dead horse yet. Mind you, I think I know why I keep putting off getting hitched to Michael. Yeah, I got it all wiped out. I just cannot face the prospect of the three of us going on honeymoon.
Taxi is written and produced by Joe Stewartson, directed by David Gooden. George Carellin plays Chuck Edwards, Red is Tony Jay, and Myrtle is played by Pat Saunders.